Chapter 8. The Left Path and the Right Path. It is known to all of us that we, in the development of world events, live in a period called the last days. With this expression, the universal doctrine aims to indicate that a prevailing period will turn into an entirely different one, in which other life conditions, other forces, and totally different situations will appear. In such a turn of the times, countless people will see their dream castles collapse. They will become disillusioned, snatched away from a certain illusion, so the possibility may exist that due to their experiences they will acquire a certain susceptibility to new impulses. The changing of periods of mankind is always accompanied by different and new electromagnetic radiations. Every one of us can understand that in such times the whole of mankind becomes extremely sensitive, nervous, capable of behaving in most peculiar ways. Therefore, after some consideration, one can fully understand that the Gnosis, in its redeeming intervention with mankind, makes its activities strongly felt during these times. For a bewildered dialectical human being will be more prepared and able to listen to the voice of the Gnosis than the human being who, quite undisturbed, is still engrossed in his natural strivings. Therefore it is said in the holy language, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and the men servants and the maid servants shall prophesy." This is accompanied by a powerful effort on the part of the mysteries to reveal everything that has been hidden until now, in the hope that many will see, recognize, and listen to what was hidden. For he who sees, recognizes, and hears can also react. As far as its capacity and activity are concerned, our sensory organism is totally dependent on the five soul fluids. As our soul state differs from that of everyone else and is colored very personally, we all see and hear in an extremely individual way. Our right eye is directly connected with the pineal gland and the related brain section. Our left eye, on the other hand, arises totally from and is connected to the normal mental thinking of the brain with the intellect of nature. Additionally, we have to bear in mind that our intellectual apparatus is totally to be explained from is dominated and controlled by the desire life, the desire body of man. Therefore, it can be said that the left eye is governed by the liver. We write about this here to make it clear to you that anyone who is not yet ignited by the Spirit of God, who has as yet not opened his soul to the light of the Gnosis, is in fact one-eyed. The right eye cannot as yet be used for inner perception, because the entry to the pineal part of the brain leads along a way going from the pituitary gland, situated in the soul's center, to the pineal gland. In the human embryo, the eyes grow from the depth of the brain substance outwards. When the pineal gland has not been opened for the Gnostic light, the right eye can neither perceive this light nor can it kindle it. Seen mystically and gnostically, the eye serves as a lamplighter or as a stimulus for an already burning light. What we possess inwardly is sought by the eyes and attracted, inhaled as a spiritual oxygen for certain light needs. For most people, the right eye serves as a help, a subordinate of the left eye. So, as regards its true function, it is blind, inactive. In this state, we look at the world and mankind exclusively with our desire nature and the thought activity subject to it. Consequently, our eye functions are totally eye-central, eye-maintaining. Whatever we look at, it is always with the desire. What is satisfying to me? What can serve to feed the eye? What will be bliss for me? One can approach the Gnosis and its mysteries in the same way, for there is no mortal and no animal on earth that does not seek bliss, the bliss of passion, of food, of a warm den to lie in, the bliss after death. The masses living by their left eyesight will, in their own fashion, when they get into a tight corner, also grope towards the gnosis and its revelation to verify what may be of use for the preservation of their own state. It is thus only by the study of nature, by exploration of unknown domains, from a self-maintaining urge, that some people try to approach the gnosis. You will realize that such people, unable to see the light, cannot understand the gnosis either. When they approach the gnosis and its revelations, they will come to the most ridiculous interpretations, explanations, and conclusions. This behavior has always been a great danger to the Gnostic servants and their schools. The revelation of the Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, but unfortunately, all flesh is not able to see in the one essential way. Their sensory reactions often lead to impossible situations. It is the same with our hearing. The right ear cooperates with the right eye as the left ear does with the left eye. What the eye sees, the ear hears. Now we know that light has a higher, more intense vibration than sound. That is why light determines sound. In ordinary nature, we first see the flash of lightning and only then do we hear the sound of thunder. The reverse is often true when it concerns the Gnostic intervention with mankind. Unsusceptible to the light, mankind is affected by the voice. However, not as yet by the voice of the light itself, but by the voice of the spiritual school and its servants. When the right ear is insufficiently susceptible to understanding, even in a slight degree, everything is received by the left ear and interpreted by the left eye, thus by the eye of nature. You will understand, in view of man's general biological condition, how necessary it is that the method of sending out servants is used by the gnosis. The voice and the name, that is the power and the purpose of the light, have to be interpreted and brought to all people. This method, however, is a path of suffering and sorrow for all those who have to use it. The words that are presented, the key to the true sensory perception that is offered, are contradicted and abused. The work of the servants provokes hatred and resistance, as is always the case when those of the right path turn towards those who are by nature clinging to the left path. You have to look upon the intervention of the spiritual school and its heightened activity in this period of mankind as an intense effort to make it possible for the Spirit, which is poured out upon all flesh, to enter and make it possible for a true fundamental sensory change to gain power over the human being. In other words, as an effort to make the right eye and the right ear respond to their calling. The sacrifice that is being made to this end by the servants of the gnosis will, for the most part, have negative effects. Resistance and hatred, persecution and revilement will be its result in all possible and impossible ways. All who serve the light know this in advance. However, they accept this thorn in the flesh gladly if only the sacrifice of the light is accepted by those who truly seek the light. Those who will be able to accept the sacrifice of the light and do accept it in a positive way will prove their state of being by a clearly evident life behavior, by a new attitude of life. When a man has ears to hear and eyes to see, this means, in the sense of the holy language, that the right eye and the right ear become susceptible to Gnostic vibrations because of the new soul activities. Both senses of the right path are then going to influence the senses of the left path. In other words, the mental faculty is adapted, the inveterate thinking habits are affected, and the entire emotional and desire life is uprooted by the revealing light. The great demolition of the entire state of nature is undertaken by the mere fact that a human being begins to understand and see something of the Spirit that is poured down upon mankind. In short, man's entire sensory state is changed totally, with incalculable consequences. The man who initially belonged to the left is going to stand right, straight, and square on the path. Undoubtedly, you have often heard about conversion. Well, true conversion, before anything else, is a sensory change. If the modern spiritual school were to succeed in bringing about in you nothing more than a little of such a conversion, its work for you could be called successful. For the sensory change meant here relates to a corresponding change in the aural being of your microcosm. It opens the sepulchral temple in which the very ancient one is imprisoned.